The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. We have been watching the preseason, sort of. Gabe, are you still of the belief you can't get a lot out of preseason action, out of training camp?
Well, the next couple of days are the ones that are important. These joint practices are the ones you're probably getting the most out of. I mean, preseason games, what? I mean, yeah, we gleaned so much information about the guys we actually care about. They played three snaps.
Yeah, why did they play three snaps, Chu?
Because they scored.
And that was it? So they were like, once you score, you're out?
Yeah.
So wasn't that just a formality then? It's not like the brain trust learned anything about their number one offense when you run three plays.
No, but the touchdown was a third down play, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if they go three and out, they're coming back out.
Oh.
But the fact that they scored, that's like enough because you can only go down from there.
Yeah.
It was the right decision, I think.
Three plays?
Yeah, it's fine for the first one. I mean, the defense... I was surprised how long some of the defensive players stayed in there.
I mean, like Van Ness. The starters aren't playing again.
Well, so the start, at least on offense, I mean, I'm guessing some of the defensive starters will be out there just because they're a little bit younger, a little more inexperienced.
Yeah.
Some of those, you know, higher draft picks. But LaFleur already said that starters offensively aren't playing against the Broncos because they're going to get all the work in during the joint practice.
So hold on. I thought they're practicing against Baltimore.
They are.
When?
Next week.
Next week.
Because they've got the Broncos this week. They're going out to Denver ahead of time. They're going to have a couple joint practices with the Broncos, a couple joint practices next week with the Ravens.
Yeah, then you're fine. That's fine.
The other thing about that touchdown was it was a deep ball. Mm-hmm. And that is something that Jordan Love, for all of the conversations we have had about the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, it has been a bit of a Achilles heel. And it's early. It's small sample size. If you're going to use small sample size when you're talking about Jordan's contract, whether or not he earned the big money, all of that stuff, you also have to say that all of these stats and all of these trends are also a small-ish sample size. But last year, Love had a 34.7 success rate on throws of 25-plus air yards, and that wasn't good enough. We thought, ooh, this might be something that he has to avoid. And you got to be able to throw the ball downfield, Gabe. I remember specifically you ranting about that. If you want to be good in the NFL, you have to be able to push the ball downfield.
Yeah. I mean, think about any great quarterback has been able to do that. Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, everybody's been able to push the ball down the field because it just opens up so many other things. If you can't throw the ball deep, the defense... They go, okay, go ahead, run. We don't care.
Mm-hmm.
We know he can't hit you.
Yeah, go do whatever you want. So
that's why I said stop doing the basket drills.
Him being able to hit a throw like that is a nice step forward. And him talking about, you know, the different ways he has to throw the deep ball for different guys, and just as he continues to learn, those are the types of things you like to hear.
So let's take a listen to Jordan Love, who yesterday was talking about why he has been better at the deep ball this year so far than last year.
Call met me.
Why is your deep ball so much better than it was last year? I mean, even today, you're dropping dimes to Jay Reed, to Christian. Why has it been more efficient, do you think, than it was a year ago?
I think just working it, just getting more reps at it, understanding who my guys are out there, who I'm throwing it to. Obviously, trying to put the ball in there where they have a chance to catch it. But, you know, understanding who's out there. A guy like Christian, maybe not put his ear on it. He's going to run fast. But... I think it's just work. Just continue to work it. Get more comfortable. Get more confidence throwing it.
Chief, the deep ball has to be thrown on rhythm. Can't throw it late, which is what he was doing. It was more of a throw him open. I mean, not throw him open. Hold on to it too long where you got to throw him open. Because pre-snap read, you should. If you're going deep, you should know at the line. You should know at the line. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, hitch, let it go. You know,
and there's a lot of times there's kind of like hitch last year.
Yeah, if you come back to it, let's say you're too late. Exactly. So he's learning. I mean, I'm sure they did a lot of film studies say, and it's easy to see. It's like, see here, too late. One too many hitches. Here. I mean, sometimes you do because things happen. Safety cheats too far one way. You don't see it pre-snap read. But it was more just uncorking it with him. Instead of aiming it. He seemed so aimy last year.
Well, which is kind of a double whammy considering you're throwing it late and you're trying to aim it.
Yeah.
instead of just letting it loose. Where, I mean, the throw in the preseason game was on rhythm. Yeah. He was in rhythm.
Sure.
Got to the top, let it go, because he knew he had the matchup of a safety versus Dontavian.
And he had to learn that. You know what can never get picked off? An overthrown ball. Most times, right? You underthrow it, you bring the corner into play, and you bring the safety.
So this idea of you know you're throwing the deep ball when you're at the line.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't always happen, though, right? Like plays break down. You might have a corner or a defensive back who slips in coverage, and all of a sudden somebody's running free, and you want to try to take advantage of that situation as well. That would be an instance where maybe you didn't plan on going downfield, but now you have an advantageous situation.
Yes. When you have a route, a mid-level route is always kind of followed by a clear out. You have the mid-level route, and then you have the underneath the hold coverage. So he's always looking. One is always first, even on a boot. So when he's booting out the back door, you know, you have the cross or mid-level. The guy wide to the place you're rolling is still number one. It goes top to bottom. It goes one, two, three, run. That's his progression on boots. So even though one on a boot is rarely going to get it in case if someone falls down or slips, most times it's the crossing route or the underneath route. That's how it should be.
Right.
But most routes are designed like that. It's either quick look at the post, mid-level, flat.
And I get route combinations. I understand that. And that's why it's so easy to tell when something breaks down if you got two guys who end up in the same area of the field. You're like, somebody did something wrong.
Right? Yeah.
Because they don't design it that way. But do you think that this will be a big part of the offense this year, Chu? Or do you think you're going to see a little more mid-level? You were talking about, you know, this is a team that has at times used guys out of the backfield. They like the screen. They like the flat. Like, is this? Do you think this will be a premier focused on portion of the offense this season?
Depends what happens with Watson.
Right.
1,000%. Because, you know, we talk about LaFleur being so good at scheming things open. If you get into a formation where they can't play cover two, they have to play cover three, and you got Watson as a single receiver to one side, and Jordan becomes really good at looking him off, then they will. They will.
I mean, they still took plenty of deep shots last year. It's a bother of do you connect on them?
Sure. And you don't have to connect on all of them, but you got to be a little better than 37%.
34%. Would you expect, Gabe, for there to be an uptick in the number of times they actually do go deep?
Probably not an uptick in the times they go deep. Because, again, I think they went deep plenty last year. Do I expect an uptick in the number of times they connect? Yes. Like, I expect that number to be higher than 34%.
Because Matt LaFleur, when he came to the Green Bay Packers, had gone on the record saying he's not a fan of the deep ball. He likes to be able to kind of control everything kind of right here in front of him. And you're taking too much risk when you try to push it down the field on one play like that. But who did he have as his quarterback when he started as head coach of the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, who was fantastic at the deep ball and at connecting downfield.
And usually how the deep ball comes about is not from LaFleur, it's from coaches in the box who are in his ear. Because after the play, the coaches are in his ear. Because everyone on the offensive side of the ball is connected to him. So whoever's responsible for watching the deep ball, you have the post there. Go back to it at some point in time. Tell Jordan, you have the post. You have the post. So if you come back to that, tell him. That's it. And then it stays in your mind. And that's how that goes.
And Jordan does like on when he ends up in a scramble situation to go long. He likes to go down the field. I think you're absolutely right, Chu. This relies a lot on Christian Watson's health.
Yeah.
Because he is the deep threat. I mean, we're not trying to, like, oversimplify this. Like, he's the guy. Does that mean that Jaden Reed won't catch balls downfield? Does that mean that Romeo Doubs won't catch balls downfield? No, of course. Does that mean the tight ends won't be catching balls downfield if they can stay on their feet long enough to, you know, get down
the field? Well, I mean, once the ball's in his hands, that's when things get a little dicey for Musgrave.
That's a plus,
as long as he catches it.
98%. I don't know. Yeah, I agree with Gabe. I think his percentage of completions down the field, I mean, it's not going to be 70%, but if he can get into those 40s, that's pretty darn good.
Okay, so doesn't that bode very well? As we sit here and talk about everybody gushing about the Green Bay Packers, as we sit here and talk about the pundits, the national pundits who are high on the Green Bay Packers, Doesn't Jordan Love's ability to throw the deep ball better bode well? Doesn't that mean he clearly has taken a step in the right direction? He has evolved in a positive way. This, to me, Gabe, feels like an indication that the Packers will be better this year than they were last year.
It gives you hope, certainly. But also, how is Jordan going to handle the increased responsibility he now has at the line of scrimmage? Is that going to overwhelm him at first? Is he going to be able to figure it out early? Because that's something they've also talked about. So they're throwing more things at him, and it's a matter of, and again, that's just the progression of a quarterback. How do you handle that? How do you handle that? How do you handle the big question, right? Oh, offensively for the Green Bay Packers. I think we all feel good about Jordan Love. We feel good, despite about, you know, our talks about A.J. Dillon earlier. I think we feel good about Josh Jacobs. We feel good about the pass catchers.
The thing
that's going to hold back this offense is the offensive line.
Yeah, exactly.
If they have injuries along that offensive line, things get dicey quickly.
And if they can't handle, like, Detroit or some of these teams that can get pressure with four, because then you're dropping seven. It makes it a lot tougher. They're going to struggle because then you have to build your game plan around, we can't do that. We're just not going to have time to do that. And if you have to keep a back end or a tight end, that's one less receiver out there for seven guys to cover, you know? So that's the game. Yeah, I would say going into this season offensively, your biggest concern is the offensive line.
Which is a pretty big concern.
Which is, yeah.
Turns out.
Pretty. But you know what? This team always seems to figure it out on the offensive line.
That's what I always lean on, Chu, honestly. Yeah. Even if there's uncertainty of who's going to be where, even if there are injuries that crop up early on, I have felt very confident in the Packers' ability to backfill.
Yes.
You have guys who can play multiple positions, and it's the reason that they emphasize that. It's the reason that it is a priority for them. Can you play multiple positions, or are you a specialist at one? They prefer guys who can play multiple positions. Josh, are you concerned about the offensive line being the Achilles heel of this offense?
Yeah, I think we've gotten too comfortable as Packer fans. Remember Royce Newman, that disaster? Yeah. Who was the left tackle that couldn't block anything when Bakhtiari? There's been plenty of guys.
Marshall Newhouse?
Yes. Yeah. There's been plenty of guys throughout history where it's like they're forced into action and they're just not good enough to be out there, and it causes big issues.
I mean, Bakhtiari's injury is a big reason why the Packers and Aaron Rodgers didn't go to another Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Because they just didn't have somebody who could step in.
Yeah, but somebody who was on a huge future Hall of Fame trajectory at
the
time.
Yeah, but like they didn't even have anybody competent to step in.
I know, but you lose Rashid Walker, you know who they got listed on the depth chart as the backup? Andre Dillard. You feel comfortable with that?
You know who loves Andre Dillard? Rashawn Gary. Big fan.
Yeah.
I bet Aiden Hutchinson would be too.
Yes. That's a great point.
I've seen them talking about how they actually view Jordan Morgan as the swing tackle, which then causes Sean Ryan to come into play. Yep. And like, I think what happens is if somebody drops out at one of those tackles, that Jordan Morgan's going to be the first one to leave.
It's either
position.
Morgan or it's going to be Elton.
Yeah.
I think those are the
fact
two guys.
That he's not the starter means he's not as good as the starter. I don't know where I'm at with Morgan right now.
I mean, he's probably going to start right guard.
Young, exactly.
What do you think of Monk?
I tell you what, I like Monk better than I like Dillard. Everyone likes anyone better than Dillard. But
I like you better than Dillard now.
I like Monk.
Let's throw 30 pounds on you, see how you can hold would up at left tackle.
I mean, break glass in case of emergency. Would they move Zach Tom to left tackle?
I don't... I mean, I think there would have to be multiple injuries to move him off a right tackle.
Really?
I think they would move Elton Jenkins, because right now their sixth best offensive lineman is Sean Ryan.
Yeah.
Who's not going to swing to the outside. I think you feel decent about him at an inside position. So I think Morgan, then Elton Jenkins are kind of your options to kick out to tackle if there's
injuries
there.
Back in the day, they'd move Flanagan to left tackle.
Yeah.
The center.
They trusted him.
Well, he's a great athlete.
Yeah.
I think Zach Tom's a great athlete.
I also think Sean Ryan being the backup center right now is interesting. That they're kind of, they don't want competition at that right guard spot. It just kind of is what it is.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, but that's my biggest concern.
Because there's just no depth. Right? Like last year you felt decent about, oh, Yash will be the swing tackle. And if he needs to be in there, we feel okay because we've seen it.
Will we know what the starting offensive line looks like before Brazil? You know, you're talking about how...
I think we already know what it looks like.
Okay. I thought we were watching, like, if we're watching these preseason games, are they going to be out there, the starting offensive line, or is it going to be the number twos?
I don't think so. I think it's going to be the number twos.
So you think it's Tom, Morgan, Myers, Jenkins, Walker?
Yes. From right to left. Correct. I mean, they haven't officially announced that, but like Josh said, the only competition really going on was for the right guard spot, because Jenkins' spot was solidified, right tackle was solidified. They haven't kicked Morgan out to really have a competition with Walker, and Myers was, so really only one spot was up for grabs.
So are you seven deep?
They're six deep.
You don't like Monk?
He's okay. I mean, again, if we're talking about an injury to tackle... Like, he's not kicking out to play tackle. Yeah.
All right. Well, I feel
pretty confident about their first six. I'd like it if there was a seventh. And I'd prefer that seventh to be a guy who consistently is on the outside, but that's a luxury in the NFL.
Yeah.
All right, we roll on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good conversation. Started with the deep ball, worked to the receivers, got back to the offensive line. Apparently, we are all saying that the success of the deep ball is wholly dependent on the offensive line and Christian Watson. Okay.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure.
Can you protect? Can he stay healthy?
On all these things. You've heard me talk about my garage floor and how it has transformed our outdoor space thanks to Showtime Floors. Their latest innovation has me even more excited. Get a sealer applied and protect your new and existing surfaces in and around your home or business. It is antimicrobial. It is also UV resistant. And it is used by all the big guys, including right here in Milwaukee at General Mitchell Airport. That's right. You can see Showtime Floors' newest innovation at General Mitchell Airport. I'll be there tomorrow. You already know how much time I spend at the airport. They offer a 15-year warranty on their work. And if you bring that, if you tell them that you heard it on ESPN, you will get 10% off on your purchase. Tell them Jen from ESPN Milwaukee sent you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He sounds like the Beatles.
What? Anyone?
This is a new one on me.
Listen to his interview, the way he talks. He sounds like Paul McCartney. Ringo farted and it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Josh and Hartland weighing in on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line saying, jingle bells, Batman smells, Robin laid an egg.
The Batmobile lost a wheel and
Joker got away.
There it is. Nice teamwork there, guys. Mm-hmm. I had forgotten. My brain absolutely went, whoop. Nope, don't know the rest of that song. Did you see this story about Mark Zuckerberg? Listen, guys, you're doing too much. You're doing too much. Mark Zuckerberg, I'm sure he loves his wife. I know he loves his wife, or he did something very bad, Kobe style.
Trying to make up for it.
Bought her a big ring, remember? He put a statue of his wife in their backyard. He commissioned a statue of his lovely wife. It now stands in their backyard. This is bananagrams to me. This is insane. Did the wife want a statue? Did you ask your wife, like, hey, honey, big birthday coming up, big anniversary coming up. I don't even know what it was for. What can I get for you? If she requested the statue, there's a whole nother conversation. Well,
then she doesn't deserve one.
If you're
asking for statues, you don't get one. And also, if you're asked for a statue, if you want a statue and you say yes, I think you're also weird. Who wants a statue of themselves in their backyard?
I can tell you this
Well, I can tell you there's two people that want a statue of themselves in Lambeau Field. Not me.
Well,
you don't think 4 and 12 want a statue up there?
Yeah, I do. They don't have statues of players though, right?
They just have the two coaches.
And then AmFam has what? Hank Aaron.
Hank Aaron, Bud Selig, Robin Yount. I believe there's four.
Why are the Packers so
anti-statue?
I don't know if it's because then they have like the Packers Hall of Fame. They've got all that inside.
You think it detracts?
I don't know. I mean, it's Lambeau Field. They got a picture
I think it's stupid.
All right. Are we going to just skip over the fact that this dude put a statue of his wife in their backyard? Like, Chew, You and your wife.
Yes.
You've great got, relationship.
You've got statue money.
Tremendously. You buy those big honking trees at the state
yeah.
fair.
The fake trees, yeah.
Metal trees, okay? Theoretically, you're the only one of us that could do this. You wouldn't, though, right?
Not in a million years. My wife will not wear any shirts that says Goff's, the old business, any of the new businesses. She refuses to wear any type of garb like that. So what about, statue would be, forget about it.
What about when the business was still Goff's before they sold
it? Never. She would never wear one.
Huh.
Never.
Would she wear a Mark Shmura jersey?
Well, it's private.
Whoa!
Have I made her put it on? Yes. I'm not going to lie.
They've been married for a while, Josh.
I didn't know that's where that was going to go.
That's super fun. I do want to talk about this, though, because it seems like it's very aggressive. And I know Mark Zuckerberg has, like, God money, right? Like, he's up there with, like, the Elon Musks of the world as far as, like, they're, you know, no price is too steep type of thing. But this is still bizarro behavior, right? Like, I've been trying to think of, like, an everyman thing. Having a painting commissioned of your spouse? Having a picture taken of your spouse? Like, this is all still a little weird to me.
Yeah, I guarantee that if I showed up, if I had statue money, and I showed up with a statue of my wife in my backyard, I think she'd divorce me. I think she would go, okay, I can't trust this guy. This guy cannot be trusted. Made some bad decisions. We need to get out ASAP.
How much money did you spend on this atrocity? Why would you think that I would want this in the backyard? Statues are strange. Like, when I think statues, and I do like the idea of statues, and you could have a whole history conversation about statues being torn down and things like that and doomed to repeat history and all of that. But, like, I think about when we have gone to Europe. Statues are big in Europe. Lots and lots of statues. We called it the Nuts and Butts Tour because, well, as you know, many of those statues are naked, okay? Or a small piece of cloth covering something.
I thought you were talking about something else being small.
Nuts and Butts. We called it the Nuts and Butts Tour. That was cool. That feels like history. It feels like you're stepping into a different era.
Yeah.
There's something about having it in your backyard that feels like a try hard. Feels like you're trying too hard.
But even then, like, at what point did they stop making those statues? You know, because there's, I mean, yes, very historic, I'm sure, with everything that you saw, but it only goes up to a certain point. It's not like they had a new statue commissioned from somebody from 1962, right?
Is statue like the ultimate sign of respect? Is that where this is coming from, maybe? Like, because I'm thinking about Kobe for a minute, guys. And obviously Kobe, who died now 4 years ago, They're putting up three statues to Kobe outside the Staples Center or whatever it's called now, because it's not that anymore, I don't think. Three. They have now unveiled, I think it was last week, the second of three Kobe statues that are going up there outside of the arena.
That's bizarre.
Seems excessive.
Yeah, a little bit.
But also, Vanessa's not putting one in her backyard.
Well, speaking of statues.
Because again, that takes it another, like, these statues that you saw were, like, out in front of historic buildings and things that those people had to
museums,
do. Yeah, it's not
the
like
Vatican.
Hey, let's go check out this statue in this person's backyard. Like, having it just only for you in your backyard, like, it's kind of weird. Like, Bud Selig's got the statue there, doesn't have it in the backyard.
Here's
that's
one
just
other
weird
thing. A lot of times aren't statues for people who have died. Now, not always, right? Because we know Uke has a statue, and you mentioned Robin Yount having a statue. But sometimes it is to memorialize someone. She's still alive and kicking.
It seems like the ultimate, like, rich person thing. We just don't have... There is nothing that can raise to the level of excitement anymore in Mark Zuckerberg and his wife's life.
That's interesting.
Like, they got the yachts. They've got the houses everywhere. Like, where else do you go?
They got the smoker.
Right. He loves smoking meats.
Like, you could probably say the same for tombstones, right?
Huh? What are you talking about?
Well, some people have massive tombstones.
Oh, sure.
Right? Which is a little ostentatious, I think.
Well, look at me, even in death?
Yeah, even in death. But so I'm in the Under Armour store, right? 50% off. Great.
We're transition.
Right? So
we are locked in, dude.
So it's packed, And I didn't know it was 50% off okay. until I went in there. And you guys know I love, I'm a walking billboard
for UA.
Under Armour.
Mm-hmm.
So for me to shop takes about 7 minutes, 43 seconds. Someone else takes 7 hours and 43 minutes. So, of course, no chairs. Why don't they put chairs in these stores?
Probably
blows my mind.
Shop together.
So I'm just sitting there leaning against one of the racks.
Okay.
Right? Just waiting and waiting, not moving. And all of a sudden, a guy walks by me and freaks out.
Well, he thought you were a mannequin.
He thought it was a mannequin. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, I thought you were a mannequin and you moved. It freaked the ever living.
Well, he was probably wearing all his Under Armour stuff in the Under Armour store.
Now I know what I'm doing every time I'm going into a department store and waiting for those 6 hours.
I think he tied it together pretty well, guys. I think he somehow, some way, connected his trip to Under Armour to Mark Zuckerberg's statue. I don't know how he did it, but he somehow did it. It's incredible. Just got to hand it to him sometimes.
I mean, I got time.
Yeah, you do. We should set up a camera, though, next time, right?
Yeah.
Bring a hidden camera, see how many people we can freak out. You know, they do that at the universities, that when they... in the lobbies of the university's facilities, the football facilities, they often have whatever their current uniform is on a mannequin.
Yeah.
And so you'll see these videos of somebody dressing up in the uniform, putting the helmet on, and then standing there in that, you know, statuesque position. And then when people walk by, they're like, ah! And everybody freaks out, pees their pants. It's fantastic. We got to take a break. We got to get to Sophia Minner. She is next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
A weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks, straight from a fan favorite and Bucks legend. Tune into Here District with Marcus Johnson, a Bucks Plus audio production. Marcus and his son Chris, a 1995 UCLA Hoops champ himself, talk about everything happening in the Bucks world and are joined by some of the biggest names in basketball. Plus, they'll answer some of your questions too. Stay on the beat of the Bucks and find Here District now on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or wherever you get your podcast.
From the latest happenings on the diamond.
With the team here the last couple days, Eric Haas had a big weekend, and pitchers love throwing to him. I mean, he's a great, great teammate.
To all the insight and expertise on things outside the ballpark.
Some of these deals, and of course the way that the wild card picture is right now, if the narrative is that there might be teams that are both buying and selling.
We only turn to one person. Batter up. It's Sophia Minert on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Two Men in a Junk Truck. From unwanted furniture to full-service residential and commercial cleanouts, go to twomeninajunktruck.com to book your free, no-obligation, same-day estimate.
Always great to check in with our friend Sophia Minert from the ballpark. Sophia, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're good. A little down, if I'm being honest. I was kind of hoping that the Brewers would be able to hang a little bit more with the Dodgers. And so far this series, it has not gone the way I was hoping. Give me reason for optimism.
Well, I mean, I think, first of all, we can say the obvious, that the Dodgers are pretty good. You know, Clayton Kershaw on Monday, and Gavin Stone, who's been one of the Dodgers' best starters for them this season. They've dealt with probably just as many injuries as the Brewers have this year with their pitching staff. But, this is a really tough homestand. They won the series against the Reds. You've got four here against the Dodgers. So you've got two games left with them. And then the Guardians, who've had a really good season in the AL Central coming in this weekend. And we've talked to Pat Murphy about that, of, you know, you want to see kind of how you measure up against these teams. And you know, the first two games have not gone well. You know, Pat Murphy saying last night, the word he used was, we're just sputtering right now. You know, they had such a great offensive stretch in the Atlanta series, continued that Friday night against the Reds. The offense has been pretty quiet now over the last three games. And they've obviously seen some good pitching. So that's a credit to the pitching that they're seeing. But yeah, I think when you're playing the Dodgers, you know, you can't get away with mistakes. And the lineup that they have at the top is probably the best in the league with you know, getting Mookie Betts back and Shohei Ohtani and Freddie Freeman. They've shown why they're the best lineup in the National League.
At the end of the day, Sophie, if they do lose this series, to the players, is this just another series or is it a benchmark? Because back when I played football, to me it seems like you always wanted to lose in the regular season to a team you know you're going to face again. Is there any of that, or is it just, hey, this is just another series, we still have 40 whatever games to go?
Well, look, I think, like, you want to compete, right? You want to compete. You want to do well. Obviously, they want to win these series. You know, they dropped 2 out of 3 in LA when they played the Dodgers in July. So, you know, this is a team that has had the Brewers' number, like, no doubt, for the last couple of seasons. So you know that in the postseason, this is going to be a matchup that you're going to see again. So you've got to figure things out. I don't think you get too down about it if things, you know, don't go well, like they have the first two games. But you just know it's like your margin for error to beat teams like this is razor thin. You can't make mistakes defensively, pitching wise, offensively. You've got to have really quality at bats. You know, you can't miss your opportunities. That was kind of what happened with them last night. They had, you know, one inning where they had two runners on and just not able to execute anything. So, you know, the bright spot is William Contreras has homered the last two games. But, you know, I think you obviously want to win these series. You don't get too down if it doesn't go that way. You're obviously on to the next one. Fortunately for the Brewers, they've lost the last three, so have the Cardinals. So the lead is still 7.5 in the division.
Sophia, Tobias Meyer's not starting today, but goes tomorrow. What has been the key to his success? I mean, he's only given up 4 earned runs over his last 5 appearances.
I know. He's quietly, I mean, I know it's, you know, Paul Skeens gets so much attention for the Pirates and started the All-Star game and all of that as a top pick. Tobias Meyers, what he has done this year is really unbelievable. I mean, he came up, made his debut in April, got set down, worked on some things. He just, like, recommitted to his fastball, got away from his cutter usage, which he had been using kind of in his first couple of starts. And just really, like, recommitted to that fastball. And I think the guys around him have helped him a lot. He and Chris Hook have worked on some things. Gabe, I know you're a golf guy. The orange whip. I'm blanking on the name right now.
Ricky Fowler.
The orange.
No, it's
yeah,
it's.
The,
oh, that's that.
It, well, it's just like a golf
I'll
tool.
Let, I'll let Gabe do oh. the golf explanation.
Yeah. It's a golf tool. Yeah, the orange whip is the name of it, but it's just like it's a warm-up club, right? It's got a big,
Okay.
You know, orange ball at the end of it, and it's just, you know, it's very flexible, and it's just kind of a way to warm up.
Yeah, so Chris Hook brought that orange whip tool to Tobias maybe 2 months ago now, and he's been using that every day to just get himself, to get his body into a position where he wants his delivery and his mechanics to be. He even takes it out to the bullpen to get ready for games. So it's just, he's figured some things out physically. The pitch usage for him, he really trusts the catchers. And obviously you're seeing confidence build for him every time out. So it's kind of that perfect storm of everything is going well. And they need it, quite frankly. They've really, really needed the starts and the innings that he has given them.
Sophia Minert hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy here. Sophia, what's the update on Christian Yelich? Are we getting any closer to knowing when he'll be back?
Yeah, he did not go on the road trip with the team. He stayed back, and he's been getting treatment. He has not been on the field at all doing any baseball activity, so no progress in that area. They're trying to figure things out of what the next best step is for Christian, but he obviously wants to get back. This is the really fun part of the year when you're getting into that final stretch of the season. But yeah, and no doubt this team is different without him. So they're trying to figure out the best next steps for him. But he has not progressed with like any baseball activities yet.
Sophia, if they continue to stay in command of the Central, will it get to a point where they can really start resting players, give them kind of a give them a deep breath before they hit the playoffs?
I don't, it's too soon for that question, truthfully. I mean, right now, and this is also kind of why the Dodgers series is important, like the way that the playoff format is, you know, when the Brewers got in last year, they were the 3 spots. And if you can get into those top 2 spots as the division winners, meaning they would have to catch the Phillies and the Dodgers, which I think right now they're 2.5 games back of them, you can get a bye for that first round instead of going into that 3-game wild card round like the Brewers did last year with the Diamondbacks. So they would currently be that third division winner, which means they would play that sixth seed. You know, if the postseason started today, they would be that third seed. They would play that sixth seed, meaning the last team into the postseason. So it'd be essentially the same as last year. So I think like their goal is obviously lock up this division. And the sooner you can do that, the better. That's why the next road trip, they've got a weekend series against St. Louis. That's going to be pretty big. And then if you can catch either the Phillies or the Dodgers and secure a bye, and then you advance into the DS, that changes things pretty significantly. So I think it's, you know, the priorities are like obviously health, lock up the division. And then if you can catch one of those and get a bye, that would be pretty great shape for this team.
Are they getting pretty excited about what this bullpen can be now that Brian Hudson's back, Devin Williams finally healthy? I mean, I know the starting pitching they're still, you know, working on and figuring out, but this bullpen starting to get healthy, that's got to have them pretty excited.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Trevor McGill is getting closer too. He threw a live BP Monday. He's going to go on a rehab assignment tomorrow with the Timber Rattlers. That'll be tomorrow night. So, yeah, getting Hudson back is great. You know, I feel like they've got good length with now Bryce Wilson and Joe Ross. To get Trevor back, you've got Devin back in safe situations. It feels like you can kind of get a better order now. You feel like you have good options. When they get Hobie Milner back, they'll be back to their three lefties, having those three options. So, yeah, I think it's like you're trying to just sort of, you know, obviously keep plugging along, try to win as many series as you can, and try to order everybody where they're as fresh as they can be at this point. It's a very loose term to use because we're in the middle of August, but this is just a tough time for all pitchers as fatigue sets in and workloads set in. But yeah, I think there's a lot to like about what they could do when they're fully healthy to get things wrapped up.
Sophia, what's the biggest difference for Jackson Chourio recently? He's obviously been on a tear. I was one of those people watching as that deep ball went back to the fence, and I was like, he's going to get it, he's going to get it, he's going to get it. It went right just outside of his glove. But what do you think has been the biggest difference for him recently as opposed to how he was doing earlier in the season?
Yeah, I feel like you could almost call it two seasons for Jackson. It's like there were the first 50 games of what we saw, you know, in March, April, and May, and then June hit, and it just felt like he was a different player. And we talked about this. There were tough moments for him, you know, times where teammates were talking to him in the tunnel, miscues defensively, you know, at bats where he just looked overmatched or just really struggling to get any kind of consistency. And, you know, this team has really kind of rallied around him, and he talks about that a lot, of just the support he's gotten, how much that has helped his confidence. He said, like, May was a really tough month for him. He has come in as a really confident kid with tons of expectations and pressure and the contract on him. He doesn't show that outwardly, but you know it weighs on him. You know, he knows kind of what is on his plate. And I think he, you know, that May stretch was a low point for him. They took him out of the starting lineup, but they never sent him down. And so I think that also gave him a message of like, we believe in you and we're going to give you time to figure this out. So, you know, mechanically, I don't think things have really changed for him at the plate. He's been really diligent about doing the early work every day with William Contreras and Willie Adames. They've been such great mentors for him. His locker is sandwiched right in the middle of those two. Freddie Peralta around him as well. And so it's just, you know, I think it's like that kind of belief, his confidence. He knows he's capable of this. He told us coming in, he felt like he could be a 20-homer, 20-stolen-base type of player, even as a rookie. And if he stays healthy, it looks like he's on track to do that, which is just incredible. So there's a lot of things that go into it, but I think it's been really fun for everyone to just watch him figure this out. And now you're getting the flashes of like, wow, this is what the Brewers saw in him to give him this type of contract. And it's going to be fun to watch him. You know, he's a big reason, you know, despite Christian being out, why they're still in this spot, of like what he's done to contribute to this team.
It has been an exciting season. We'll be out at the ballpark tonight for the Dodgers. Only about 40 games left in the regular season. Hopefully the Brewers will still be at the top when the season is all said and done. Sophia, thanks for hanging out with us.
I wanted to know
all
about
right,
the Mayo cologne.
What?
Sophia.
Oh, okay.
Sophia, yeah. In or out on Mayo cologne?
Mayo, like the food?
Correct. Yes.
Oh,
your skepticism
out.
Is totally understood.
I had to be sure I heard you correctly, like Mayo the food. I was like, did you say mayo? Like,
yeah.
You know.
Oh, male cologne. Oh. Yeah. Well, big fan of the male
cologne. Mayonnaise, yeah. Mayonnaise cologne.
Yep, no. Hard, no.
Isn't that the most Wisconsin thing you could say, by the way? Yeah, no. Isn't yeah, no very Midwestern?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no.
So Midwestern. Yeah, that's just a no. Why would you even want that?
Will Levis created it with Hellman's. Apparently, it's already sold out. So
can't even buy it now.
Yeah, can't even. It's $8
Wait,
a bottle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you buy one?
It's sold out. I got to wait till they stock the shelves again.
For the restock?
Yeah.
Did you already sign up for the email notification?
Gabe's going
to
do it.
If Chewy knew how to sign up for an email notification, he would.
Or read an email. Just go lowest level. All right, Sophia. Have a great one. We'll see you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
For your next night out, make Aria, the acclaimed restaurant inside St. Kate, the Arts Hotel, your dinner destination. It is nestled on the second floor of St. Kate. It's an artful dining experience that captivates with culinary creativity and always brings playful and inventive flavors. Come and experience the magic of Aria, where every bite is a culinary work of art. Learn more and make reservations at Aria at stkate.com. That's Aria at stkate.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And guess who didn't hit the hole? Zeke Elliott.
Ashton.
Well, I mean, yes. You all right, back there?
That's so true.
It was a direct shot. She took out the sniper rifle and just...
There's not a... No, she got right up to me, took out a Glock, and just shot.
Yeah, right in the balls.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go. So get your best face on,
everybody pretend you know. Very quickly, I want to get to this Dan Orlovsky comment where he was grading the depth charts of the wide receivers. Did that include tight ends?
Yes.
Was it all pass catchers?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Very important distinction. And he did, in fact, rank the Packers as number one.
Ribbit.
Now.
I mean, if it's all of them, then I could see it.
Strength in numbers and whatnot?
Yeah.
So he did tweet out, because this picture was making its way on social media yesterday as he was ranking the NFC North receiving corps on SportsCenter yesterday. Number one, I wanted 5 above average / plus pass catchers as criteria. 2, tight ends were included. 3, Minnesota took 2 spot over Chicago strictly because JJ accounts for 2 plus players. Because he's so good.
I don't get that.
I mean, he did it to tote out with LaFleur.
Well, I mean,
that's the only reason he did it, because after 3 receivers, it really doesn't matter, because you're only going Eagle, which is 4 receivers, 3 times in a game.
I mean, if Justin Jefferson accounts for 2-plus players, and then Jordan Addison and T.J. Hockenson, like, that's
and they're
significantly
still
more,
not as good as
yeah,
the Green Bay Packers?
Significantly better than what the Packers have to offer.
But you could see it, though, because Packers are probably 6 deep at receiver, which doesn't matter.
Because you can't have 6 receivers on the field.
You can't have 6 receivers right. Unless there's injuries.
How often do you think they go to a 5 wide?
Not very often.
Twice a game?
Matt LaFleur said they're going to be bringing in 10 personnel, 4 wide receivers and 1 to get Dontavian Wicks on the field. That might have been just to get people to shut up and stop asking about Dontavian Wicks. But
I mean, we ran 4 wides, maybe, gosh, twice a game.
Yeah,
it's just the personnel grouping.
Yeah, but they ran 5 wide back in the day with Rodgers and that whole Sports Illustrated cover of pass catchers. And it wasn't once or twice a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I also included JerMichael Finley, who is tight end.
But 2 of the receivers.
But Orlovsky's including tight ends as well.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like,
but in every given play,
you're
it's
saying 4 wide receivers, one tight end.
Every play out there, it's really 3-on-3. It's not 5-on-5. It just is.
Who are the 3?
2 guys clear out, and the other guys play ball. You know, so
how
the
often
only...
were you the clear out guy?
How often do you think?
I don't want to answer this question.
You put yourself in it. Now you got to finish it. He asked you the question.
Squirm my way out
of
it.
Hey, from the 7-yard line, I'm as fast as anybody.
10-yard sprints, you got them.
Yeah.
After that, what happens, though, just for funsies?
What's that?
After the 10 yards.
Well, then you got to start toning it down because you're going to run out of the end zone.
Right, I forgot. Got to throttle down. Yeah. We're inside the 10 right
zone.
Now.
My bad. Yeah. My bad. Gold zone and whatnot. What food item do you think would make the best smelling cologne? We put that on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. Chewy suggested peanut butter. Seems like of the things we offered, mayo in honor of Will Levis, peanut butter in honor of Chew, and pizza, I can only assume, in honor of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That, I just threw something out there. I needed a third option.
Peanut butter is winning in a landslide. 50% of people would like to smell like peanut butter. Now, I do remind you that, like, if you start walking around smelling like peanut butter, don't be surprised if you have a pack of stray dogs following you around town. It just feels like that's an inevitability, right?
100%.
Thank you.
Just don't leave the house, Chew, with your peanut butter. No.
And probably the more interesting nugget here is that 0% of people have selected mayo. So none of the people who have purchased the sold-out Will Levis cologne are voting on our polls. Will and Tausch are next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great one, everybody.